chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Lord, bless your word tonight. Continue to instruct us. Reprove our thoughts. Hallelujah. Bring revelation to our hearts. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Turn to two or three people around you. Tell them the devil ain't got no power over me. How many of y'all believe God's a healer? Just a few weeks ago, Sister Kelly stood up here with a little boy going blind, and the doctors, he had a disease that there's no cure. He's got so long, he's already legally blind. That's just it. He's just going to lose his eyesight. She goes back a few weeks ago, and they come out, and they just kind of look at her and say, we have no clue what's going on. There's no disease in his eyes anymore. He has 20/20 vision. Throw his glasses away and send him home. Sister Wanda got a testimony.
Praise the Lord, church.
You can be seated.
Last year, I was diagnosed with a condition in my eyes that could lead into blindness. And, of course, fear got into my heart. I praise God because he's my healer. Pastor, a couple of months ago, I don't know, he was praying on the altar, and he said, I want to pray for some eyes that has a condition that could lead into blindness. And I said, that's me. And I went up there, and I said, Lord, this is it. I give it all to you. And I said, I'm leaving it in the altar. I'm not taking it back. I went today to my eye exam, and the doctor said, there's nothing. You had the condition, but I don't see it. And he said, for more, he said, I was wearing two pairs of glasses, one to read and one to see far. He goes, those faraway glasses, you don't need them anymore. And I'm like, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God, so you're
he
so
is
good.
A healer.
You're
Thank
so
you,
good.
Jesus.
Amen. I also want to give praise. Sister Henry spoke with us today, and her son, I don't even know what happened, but he was going up for two life sentences before the judge. And then they kind of worked that down over a process of time and prayer from the church. And then today they had decided they were going to sentence him 8 years to prison. And so she texted and she said, please pray, Pastor. And I'm sure she texted others, and we prayed. And so they brought it all the way down, and they sentenced him to 1 year in prison, and he could probably get out earlier than that on good behavior. Somebody give the Lord praise. God hears us when we pray for our children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't you tell me the devil has power. I'm here to tell you God has power. God has power. Praise God. We're gonna continue tonight on the little series that I have titled Satan's Limitations. You know, everybody's already talking about Satan's power. I want to talk about his limitations. Amen. And we have learned so much in the Word of the Lord. We talked about how it was different between the Old Testament, the Gospels, when Christ walked on the earth compared to the church today. The Bible tells us that as long as the church is in the world, that we hold back the works and the power of Satan. When the church is going to be taken out of this world, then he that letteth will let. And the Bible talks about the onslaught of the works of the powers of Satan that will surely enact themselves upon this planet. But the church is powerful. We are powerful. And when you pray for your family, it is powerful. And when you pray for your co-workers, it is powerful. You pray for your enemies, it is powerful. I'm here to tell you, your prayers are powerful. They're more power than any power the enemy may ever have or hold. They are powerful. And so we just talked about so many things. We looked at the encounters with Jesus Christ into the demonic world, and how that the word Satan is interchangeable for devils, and that's important to understand that because when you read the scripture, you have to know, is the Bible actually talking about the fallen angel Lucifer when it uses the word Satan, or is it just speaking about fallen demons in general? And it's important that we, of course, understand and know that. We looked at the parable of the seed. I thought that was so powerful, the revelation God gave us, that before when the word was sown, the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the word. And there's a reason why he comes immediately, because he knows if that word ever takes any kind of root at all, he becomes powerless to be able to remove it. Even when it was on the rocks and it just broke open and took a little root, you say, well, but it died. Yeah, but it wasn't Satan that killed it. It was persecution. You say, well, persecution comes from Satan. No, it doesn't. Persecution comes from the world. It comes from your peers. It comes from the pressures of the world. And then the one on stony ground, it was the cares of life. And then, of course, the one that bear fruit. And so we begin to learn that when the Word of God gets in us, it brings power. We talked about how the 70 came and rejoiced because Satan and devils were cast out at the name of Jesus, and how that they had to submit themselves to these disciples who were used in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, I saw him fall like lightning from the sky. He said, don't rejoice over the fact that you cast out Satan. He said, I do it with my little finger. He said, that's not what you rejoice over. He says, you want to know what's difficult? You want to know what to rejoice about? Rejoice over what the angels rejoice. Rejoice when your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the tough part. The tough part is living this life and walking this walk and talking this talk and living in the kingdom of God and getting out of this thing saved and filled with the power. He that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. We looked into all of these different things real quick, just flowing through this, not spending a lot of time. Please, I encourage you. We don't have the first Wednesday session up lesson, but we will. We're going to try to make that happen tomorrow. I have to download that MP3. It was recorded on a phone. We'll get it onto the website. That's when we were in the cafeteria. And then Sundays is already up. Tonight will be recorded. It will be put up tomorrow. And then we're going to finish this, if the Lord will help us, we're going to finish this on Sunday. And so we just talked about the encounters that took place in the Word of the Lord. And we looked into Scripture, and what we were attempting to do, and what God, I believe, was certainly attempting to do, was to take away the misnomers, the misunderstanding of Scripture, and blaming everything on the devil, and that you and I need to take ownership of our actions, and we need to take ownership of our words. And you're going to find out tonight, you need to take ownership of your thoughts. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. Yeah, I'm going to steal that one from you too. I'm going to show you scripturally that the devil doesn't have as much power over your mind as you think he does. In fact, if he did, we would all be insane. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to stand here and tell you today that your dirty little evil thoughts, they come from you. There is nothing more powerful than your mind. Your mind has the ability to create. It can think of things you've never seen or never heard, but it has the ability to compile from other abstracts and other thoughts and sights and hearing and build things. And so you say to yourself, "Oh, the devil keeps filling my mind with all these evil thoughts." I'm going to show you scripturally that your evil thoughts come from your heart, because you are evil. And the only thing that makes me and you not evil is we are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. You take the blood away, me and you, we're evil. You know how mean you can be. You know, you may not do it with your hands, but your eyes have bore holes. And your mind has put together schemes that have literally ripped the skin off of your foal and dipped them in alcohol and listened to them scream, because you're evil. Your fallen flesh and your thoughts and your heart and your corrupted mind and our corrupted spirit and all of this stuff. Listen, the more you understand just how fallen we are, the more praise you're going to give to Him when you realize what He has redeemed, what He has set free. God have mercy. He's brought us up out of the miry clay and put our feet on a rock to stay. He's taken us out of a world of sin. He's cleansed our heart and our mind and our spirit. We stand before Him. We lift up holy hands. We think thoughts of goodness and love towards Him and even one another. And all of that is because of the redeeming power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wish you'd put your hands together and give God praise. So what we want to look at here today in the Word of the Lord is to try to get a better understanding of just how much can Satan actually influence my thoughts. And is he able to even go beyond that to the point to where he can actually place a thought in your mind? That he can literally, now, see, over the last few weeks, the reason why there's always this little bit of hesitation at first is because I come head and shoulders and I confront something that you've believed all your life. Because it's been preached to you all your life. And we've already dealt with the fact that the devil didn't make you do it. That you chose to do it. And that he doesn't have power over your flesh. And that you were tempted. And the Bible tells us that however we're tempted, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticement. And that it wasn't something the devil put in me. No, no, no. He found it. It was already there. Live and well. And we've learned that, but it's liberating. Listen, it's liberating. If you can truly receive the revelation and receive it into your life, that I am in control of my actions. That the devil cannot make me do anything. Now, at first, it's condemning because now I have to be responsible for my actions. And I can't say, well, I would not have said that. The devil made me mad. No, the devil didn't make you mad. You are an angry person. I'm just letting that sink in. You are an angry person, and you are a vengeful person. That's why you took vengeance, and that's why you got angry, because there's anger in you. It's not the spirit of anger, it's your anger. It's in our fallen nature, and only the power of God can help us control it and overcome it and subdue it and learn how to treat one another in love and in kindness. And when we own up to this, I'm telling you, it is liberating. When I realize that I am responsible for who I am and not some demon out there makes me, and I own up to that responsibility, now and only now can I start making changes in my life. Because now I can come before God and say, okay, God, we got to deal with the old boy. The old boy's got some problems and we need to deal with it. And only the power of the Holy Ghost can make that happen. My Lord. And so this is what we've been looking at. We have been de-glorifying the devil. For too long, the church has glorified Satan. We've given him way too much control, way too much power. But of course, it's a wonderful excuse. And it certainly gets you and I off the hook, supposedly. Until we get into the Word of God and we realize that he never had this kind of power. I mean, come on, 2,000 demons could not stop that man from running to the feet of Jesus and falling down at his feet and worshiping him. Don't tell me the devil's got power over you. We make choices, and we make them according to the lust that's in our heart. And only the Word of God can cleanse the heart. I'm going to tell you what, before I get through here tonight, when we get on the mind, but you're going to begin to realize why it's so important you begin to digest the Word of God, and why the Word of God cannot become just something that you kind of fit in your schedule. But the Word of God has got to become so important to us. I've got to get the Word in me. Why? Because there's so much of the junk in me that I need so much Word in me that when my brain begins to work, it's not being fed by the junk. It's being fed by the Word of God. And I begin to think like him. Let that mind which was in Christ, let it be in you. Listen, there's only one way to get the mind of Christ in us. That is through the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God in us. It will change everything about you. Because every time you go to make an action, every time you go to say a word, the Word of God will come up and say, no. Every time you go to do a deed, every time you go to watch or listen, read or see or whatever, and it's not right, the Word of God begins to rise up. I need more of the Word of God in me to rise up than I do the old man in me. There's a reason why Paul the Apostle said, every day I get up, I crucify the old man. Because he understood the power of the flesh. And he didn't go around blaming the devil. You read Paul's writing. The only thing Paul writes about the devil is how to beat him up. When he deals with failure and anger and lust and envy and strife and witchcraft and all of these works, he says these are all works of the flesh. These are all in you, and only the Word of God can do it. So everybody say, let this mind, which was also, let this mind be in you. I'm sorry, let this mind be in you. Look at your neighbor. Say, let this mind be in you. Husbands, look at your wives. Wives, look at your husbands. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Amen. Now, in the Word of God, we begin to study about this subject of just how much influence does Satan actually have on my mind. We do find examples. I mentioned this Sunday. We do find examples that when you read it and you kind of study what's happening and what's going on, you say to yourselves, it certainly appears that Satan, if not put the thought in there, he certainly had a certain amount of influence and power because of the reaction of the individual. So we're going to look at this just a little bit. And it's important when we read in the book of Acts and the epistles and in the Gospels that we understand that most of the time they're just giving you the facts. They're not telling you why the facts came about. And so we read the facts and then we try to extrapolate from that of what caused that to come about, you know, into being. We look into God's Word and we study on whether Satan can actually implant a thought in our minds. We have only seen what appears to be biblical evidence that this is true, but the Bible never gives any clear statement anywhere in the Word of God that says Satan has the ability to put a thought in your mind. There's not one single scripture that says that. But we draw that conclusion. Now, before we started here tonight, I want us all to be honest. How many of us have just accepted the notion that every day as you walk around all day long and a little thought comes into your mind, Satan put it there? Be honest. Come on. I don't want to preach online tonight. Every one of you, not one or two of you. You didn't raise your hand. He's putting a thought in your mind right now not to raise your hand. So that's what we do. We walk around and guys, you'll see a girl walking down the road. And I use this example a lot because I watch you. You do this all the time. Me and my wife driving in the van. I'll see something way up the road, and I'll go, okay. And that woman will knock you out. So you keep your eyes straight ahead. In fact, when we get close, I just close my eyes and say, I hope I stay in the lane. It's embarrassing, to be honest, isn't it? So you go down the road, and there's Foxy, and you're all... And nothing more foxy than what's in the car with you. I'm just making that plain here tonight. I'm just trying to, I know that. I'm just trying to tell all the other guys that. All the other guys. But let's say you're by yourself, let's say you're by yourself and so you kind of dart over there and, you know, you hear the old thing. It's the second look that gives you. So you make sure that once you lock eyes, you don't look away so that, because you want it to just be one look. Because the second look gets you. And then you'll get a little further way down the road and you'll say, oh, devil, I hate you, devil. You're so mean, devil. You made me do that, devil. You put that thought in my head, devil. The devil had nothing to do with it. It was your own lust that drew you away. Now, he might have watched you. And so then he can manipulate some things. I understand that. He can manipulate some things. But the lust came out of you. Somewhere's down the line, ladies and gentlemen, we have to own up to our actions. And when we do, that's when changes are going to start taking place in your life. That's when changes are going to take place in your life. But we want to say the devil put that thought in there. The devil put that thought in my heart. Now, you know, let's just think about this for a second. We're just kind of looking into this tonight, all right? I'm not really going to be able to give you any absolute definites tonight because the scripture doesn't really give the definite in any direction. So we just got to kind of read the scripture and extrapolate from which way does it lean the most in. And what you're going to find out tonight from scripture is that it leans way, way, way in the direction that your thoughts come from you. And that very few, if any, actually came from the devil. Now, I'm not saying that he cannot influence us and arrange things and do things, But the initial intent of ungodliness was already in you. Thank God for a redeeming Savior. Every day. No wonder His mercies renew every day. All right, so let's continue a little bit. Now think about this, because we already say what? We know this. The scripture is very plain on this. Satan cannot read your thoughts. Now the Bible is very plain on that, that only God knows the thoughts and the intents of man. There's many scriptures and Psalms and throughout the word of the Lord that lets us know that the adversary has no clue what you're thinking. But not only is there actual scripture that tells us that, but there are many examples that show us that. Satan didn't know what Job was thinking, or he wouldn't have said to God, let me take your stuff and he'll curse you. If he knew the thoughts of Job, he'd have known that wasn't going to be true. If he'd have known the heart of Job, he would have known that wasn't going to happen, but he didn't know those things. In fact, what you will find in the Word of God is that all the examples and all the attacks and everything that happens that deals with Satan and man is always physical. It's always the outside trying to influence the inside. God is just the opposite. He influences the inside trying to influence the outside. Because Satan cannot read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. And so it stands to reason, if I was going to try to take a stance anywheres on this at all, it stands to reason to me, if he can't read my mind, he can't put nothing in it either. All right, let's just continue a little bit. Biblical evidence focuses on Satan's external activities and works in which he works in the world and works against the flesh. Now listen, if it was true that Satan could just, and I'm going to go a little bit to the extreme here, that he could just arbitrarily at his whim, just put any thought in your mind that he wanted to do. Do you think he would ever stop? If he could put thoughts in your mind, he would put them in every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week. He would never stop bombarding your mind with all kinds of evil and crazy and horrible thoughts until he would literally drive you insane. But I have the helmet of salvation. My mind is protected. It is governed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I have recognized that my evil thoughts come from my own evil heart. And I need to get that right in the Word of God and upon my knees in prayer. But Satan does not have power over my mind. I mean, come on. If he could put thoughts in your mind, he'd drive you crazy. He would never stop. He would continuously bombard you. There would never be any peace. You would never sleep. He would never let you close your eyes. You would lay on your bed, tormented with one thought after another, bombarding your brain. He is not the creator of this body. I am made in the image of God. He is a fallen angel. He is a defeated foe. Nowhere in the Word of God did God ever give Satan any power over humanity. The Bible says he gave man power over all of the creation, everywhere. Even Adam had power over that fallen angel. They just didn't exercise it. All right, let's go a little further. Another thing here is Satan was able to just throw thoughts in my mind. Now remember, there's no scripture for it that he can do that. None. There's only examples that appear, like Peter saying what he said to Jesus, and Jesus turning and rebuking Satan. One commentary there says that he turned and rebuked the concept of Satan, that it was You speak as Satan would speak, as the wants of men. But nowhere does it say that he entered into the mind. All right. Let's continue for a second. You know, if Satan could easily put thoughts in my mind, then I don't have to take responsibility for them, do I? And that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what we do. We have convinced ourselves that our bad little thoughts are not even ours. And that's why they keep coming back. Because you've never claimed them for yourself. And because you've never stood up to the responsibility of your own thoughts, which the Bible commands us to bring into captivity unto Jesus Christ. Because we have never stood up when the Bible tells us to cast down every evil imagination and every thought. The Bible tells us to bring them into captivity unto the obedience of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have never accepted that responsibility. And until the day we accept the responsibility that our thoughts come from our own evil heart, we will never correct them. All right, you ready for scripture? Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. Did I get them to you, sis? I can't remember. Okay. Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. For from, out of the, proceed. You want to know where your evil thoughts come from? They come out of your heart. Nowhere's in there is Satan mentioned. You want to know where evil thoughts come from? Where my evil thoughts come from? They come from me. And the only way I'm going to fix that is to fill my life with the Word of God. And the more of God's Word I get into my life, into my mind, and my heart, and my spirit, the more those thoughts of evil will be pushed away. And then when they do come, they'll be so easily shoved aside. It won't be like they are with you now when they show up and you try to push them out and you can't. And you try to push them further and you can't. And then you feel, you know, you begin to feel all kinds of crazy all up in your flesh and all kinds of mess going on. And that's when you start blaming the devil. Because it's kind of hard for you to receive and understand that all of that could truly be in you. Could truly be in your flesh. Can I tell you that there is no limit to how far this flesh can go in the way of evilness? Just pick up your newspaper and see men that are not even trying to bring God into their lives and look at all of the ungodliness and the devils. Do you know how evil someone would have to be to actually take a young, precious, innocent little girl and kill her, to do things to her body in an ungodly, unimaginable, unmentionable way? How evil does that man have to be? And you know what? It wasn't the devil. It was that man that did it. But we even want to blame all that on the devil. I don't mean he didn't influence. Don't misunderstand me that. I understand that the evil in this world comes from the prince and power. In fact, what we're going to preach on Sunday that we're going to wrap this up with is we're going to preach on spiritual warfare. Because I don't want to flip this to the wrong end. I don't want you to think the devil don't have any power or influence or anything in this world. He has so much, it's mind-boggling, but not over me and not over you. And that's what I'm teaching. And not over anybody else that doesn't want him to have power over them. But I am here to tell you, until humanity stands up and takes responsibility for their actions, it will never be fixed. People murder, not devils. People rape, not devils. You better hear me. People do horrible things, not devils. It's the man that does it. And the evil comes from his own heart. And the only cure is the Word of God. And that's the reason why this world is getting so bad and it's going to continue to get so evil, because men are not digesting the Word. In fact, it's just the opposite. We took it out of our schools and now our kids are going haywire at 9, 10, 11, and 12 years old. We took it out of the workplace, and now our workplaces are filling up with all kinds of ungodliness. We took it out of any public place or any and out of our juridical system, and that's the reason why it's so corrupt and falling apart. When you remove the only hope of the heart of man, and that is the word of God, when you remove that, there is no limit to the evil in which that man will go. My God, have mercy. So the revelation we need to get here today is, I need the word of God. I've got to have the word of God. I need to digest the word of God. There is no hope for me outside of the word of God. It is my only hope. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. What comes from the heart of men? Verse 22 tells us, thefts. The devil didn't make you a thief. He didn't make the people become auto thefts or bank robbers, or he didn't create Bonnie and Clyde. Their own fallen nature did it, because they had no God influence in them. And there goes me and you if it weren't for the grace of God. Because it's in us. But greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. When I get God in me, when I get the word of God in me, what proceeds from the heart of men? Evil, proceed evil thoughts. Thoughts of thievery. Thoughts of covetedness. Coveting your neighbor's house. Coveting your neighbor's boat. Coveting your neighbor's Siamese cat. Wickedness. Not from the devil. From the heart of a fallen humanity, created in the image of God. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, which means immorality of all kinds. The devil doesn't make you lust from your own heart. An evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And we begin to realize that it's not an outside force making us do things and have thoughts and all this wickedness in us, we realize it's actually our old cruddy fallen flesh. Then we can get the revelation of how much we need God. If I can blame the devil for everything, I don't need God all that much. In fact, if it wasn't for the devil, I'm a pretty good guy. That's how we think. If it wasn't for the devil, I wouldn't do any of those things or act that way or think that way or have all of that stuff. We even go as far to say, by nature, I'm really a good guy. Not according to Jesus. He said, out of your heart proceedeth these things. Look at that word. All. Everybody say all. These evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why James said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The Bible is clear that Satan most certainly cannot control our minds. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. How? Pulling down the strongholds. How? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God's saying you have the power to control your thoughts. One thing remains, that if the word of God is written across our heart, we have a knowledge of his word. No matter what the thought is that comes in our mind, we have the power and ability to bring it under captivity to Jesus Christ. We look at David. He numbers Israel. 1 Chronicles 21 and 1. I'm going to hold us just a little while longer. And Satan stood up against Israel, provoked at David to number Israel. Here we look at what the word of the Lord says, that Satan provoked him. That word means to entice. Where does pride come from? The Bible told us. Where does pride come from? Heart, right? And what David did was a prideful act. Now, what Satan can do, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this, but I could just, you know, see David looking at his army one day and going, I wonder just how many of them bad cats I got. Just how big is my army? Satan hears that. He sees that. He has ways of manipulating things. And I don't know, maybe even when we speak, he has ways of putting impressions upon us and causing us to go further with what already came out of our own heart. So he didn't put the evil there, but it appears that maybe once we allow that evil to begin to pursue out of our mouth or through our eyes, or, you know, to come out, that he has a way of enticing us. That's what that word provoke means, that he can entice us to go further than maybe what we really would have. So we can say, well, see, I can blame it on the devil. No. It starts what came out of your heart. Because if that wasn't there, the devil wouldn't have any power. I love those words. Jesus said, you go tell that old fox, you go tell that devil, he has no, what words he used? He has nothing within me, or nothing to do with me, or nothing within me. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying, there is nothing in me for that old boy to get a hold of. But see, our problem is we got all kinds of little toys for him to play with. They're all over us. Every work of the flesh that can only be brought under control through the power of the word of God. Matthew 4 and 8. Again, the devil takes him up to exceeding high mountain. And does what? And shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So what was Satan doing? Was he implanting thoughts in Jesus' mind? No. He physically took him and brought him up to a mountain to see all the kingdoms that Satan would give him if he would bow down and worship him. And then Satan was depending on the fallen nature of man to rise up in Jesus and to respond to that. But there was a problem with that. He wasn't born of the fallen nature of man. Joseph wasn't his father. The blood that flowed through him came from God. It didn't come from his father, Joseph. And so no matter what Satan tried to do in him, it failed. Why? Because Satan plays on your and mine fallen nature. And that's what he did with David. He played on his fallen nature of pride and caused him to sin. Ananias and Sapphira. Now watch this. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said to Ananias, now here it is, watch this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, when we read that, we immediately interpret that Satan put that thought into him. Keep reading. And to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remains, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Now he points the finger at Ananias. Why have you conceived this in your heart? So who was it? Was it the devil or was it Ananias? It was both. But the conception came from Ananias, because the evil is in our heart. And the moment Ananias and Sapphira begin to discuss this and talk this, Satan steps in and sort of takes over and does what? He provokes. He entices, just like he did David, and just like he tried to do to Jesus Christ, and just like he is doing to Ananias. He steps in and provokes. So he takes the evil that's already present and he provokes it. He doesn't put the evil in you. And that's what you and I have to come to grips with. That if there is evil present with me, it is my evil. And the only way I'm going to fix it is the word of God and prayer. Amen. He attacks us through what we see and hear. In the world, the desires that we have to sin are from our own flesh natures. It's not from Satan. Those desires are from within. We can allow them to become powerful in our lives, but they are not satanic and they are not demonic. They are fleshly. That's what the Bible says. Now, is Satan all those things? Of course he is. But they're in you because of your fallen nature. We don't have to fear them, but we do have to control them. So whether Satan can directly put thoughts into our mind or whether he can just simply influence us through external passions and wants and desires and lust, when you read the scripture, it's kind of hard to really judge. But this I do know, that whatever action I do and whatever thought I have, whatever deed or word comes from me came from right here. And this is the old boy that's got to fix it. And when thoughts dwell up in my mind, you know what the old saying is, that, you know, a bird can fly over your head, but you don't have to let him stop and build a nest. And they're dealing with thoughts. You can have a thought, but you don't have to let that thought hang around and hang around till it turns into lust and then turns into sin and then turns into death. So is a man. Now, I want you to listen to me for a second. I'm closing. What kind of a chance would you and I have to live for God if Satan could freely put thoughts in your mind? When the Bible says, as you think, so you are. Now, don't you think Satan knows that scripture? Do you think for a minute that he would stop flooding your mind to be a murderer? He would never stop, because he knows, as you think, so you are. He'd pick something and he would never stop. And he would bombard you and bombard you until he drove you insane. I'm here to tell you my personal belief. He cannot put thoughts in my mind. My mind belongs to God. Now, the other side of that is, I now have to take responsibility for all those little thoughts and realize that, you know what, Odell? I'm not as clean in here as I thought I was. I'm not as scrubbed up and fixed up as I thought I was. I still need a lot of help. In fact, I quickly come to the conclusion that without him, I'm hopeless. That's the reason why when you get away from the reading of the Word of God and you get away from prayer where God, remember, God can influence your mind. God can put thoughts into your mind. God created it. He can influence your heart. So the more I'm in the presence of God and the more I'm in His Word, the more my heart and mind and spirit is going to be influenced towards good things and right things. All right. I can't even start there. There's one more little section I wanted to get into about looking into the church, the Gospels, the Book of Acts, on how did they confront devils. What did they do? But Sunday, if the Lord will help me, we're going to teach on spiritual warfare, or preach on spiritual warfare, and then I might carry this one more Wednesday, if you'll let me, and we'll talk about how the church confronts Satan, because there's some really good stuff in here, and you know what? That will probably go right along with spiritual warfare. So I'll probably deal with it all on Sunday. All right, let's stand. Thank you for letting me preach to you tonight. So what we're learning from all of this is that the devil did not make me do it. And that when I treat people ugly, I can't later go to God and say, that devil just keeps working on me, and I can't believe he made me treat that person like that. Listen, as long as that's how we think, we'll never fix that issue in our life. We'll just keep saying, well, I failed again, Lord. The devil made me do it again. The devil made me do it again. But if we say, you know what, I treated that person ugly like that because that ugliness is in me and that I have a problem. I got a problem in my heart, my mind, my spirit. When you get away from the Word and you get away from prayer, you know it. We get carnal so fast. I'm going to tell you what, my flesh has the fastest resurrection in the West. You know, they said the fastest gun in the West. Man, all I got to do is skip a moment in the Word or prayer. But become rules. Paul said every day, folks, we're talking about Paul the Apostle. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul the Apostle said, every day I get up, the first thing I do is crucify my flesh. Why do you do that, Paul? Because I know that all the evil resides there. And that the old man I used to be, that potential still exists. So he doesn't have power over my flesh. He can't make me do anything. He don't have power over my mind. He can't make me think anything. I think those things, Brother Powell, about you because I'm just mean. Poor Brother Powell, somebody said. Somebody loves you, brother. Oh, they just feel sorry for you. I got to fix me. But the beautiful thing about that, because think about this, I'm done. Think about this. If the devil made you do it, and if the devil was able to control your mind and put thoughts into your mind, then you and I would not have a chance. How are you going to win? You're already full of the Holy Ghost. You're already talking tongues. You're already baptized in Jesus' name. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And if Satan has that much power and authority over you, how are you ever going to win? But if I can realize it's me and that I have to fix me, my heart, my mind, my spirit, now I can see victory at the end of the tunnel. I can see victory at the end of the tunnel. Because if it's me, Sister Rosemarie, then I can say, boy, now you go apologize to her for what how you handled that situation, and then I can learn from that. But if I go apologize to you and then walk away saying, Lord, don't let the devil make me do that again, I ain't learned nothing. But if I know it's me, I can work on me. And I'm going to tell you what, that goes with outward holiness and everything else in our walk with God. It's time you accept responsibility and quit blaming things on the devil and start walking for God. You have more power than you'll ever dream. And if the church wakes up to this, you'll walk into situations and there'll be all kind of demonic presence and all that stuff, and you ain't going to freak out. They don't have no power over you. You're just going to walk right in. You're going to take authority. And in the name of Jesus, lay hands. And if the demon needs to be cast out, you cast it out. Off, you cast it off. Whatever it is you have to do, you take authority and power over the situation. That's right. And you don't walk away and fearful, oh no, now they're gonna follow me home. Well, you know, if they want a whooping, let them follow you home. Amen. Amen. Everybody say this. That was pretty awesome, actually. You guys are awesome. I'm trying to remember the verse now. Anyway, we'll just say it my way. Let this mind, which was in Christ, also be in me. Now that's what we got to work on. We got to study him and his word and get his mind in our mind. And in our heart. Father, let this word that was taught tonight, let it sink into our spirits. Oh God, help us to take ownership of who we are. It so quickly opens up our understanding of how much we need you, how undone we really are. It's like the prophet. When you called Israel into revival, he said, God, we are a people of sin. We are a sinful people. I am undone. I am undone. God, touch our lips with that coal of fire from the altar. Burn our hearts with your word and your spirit. Speak into our minds and our heart. Oh God, help us to understand that through you and with you and with your word, we can control our thoughts, we can control our deeds, and we can crucify this flesh, and we can begin to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, that is our prayer. Help us, God. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, give us that strength, give us that power, Lord. We ask it, God. Give us that understanding, Father, we need you. Oh, let us see how important it is to get in your word, to get your word in us, how important it is to pray. Oh, to bathe in your spirit, to be in your presence, oh God. Father, in your mighty name, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so I encourage you tomorrow morning at 6:30, roll out of bed, dial that prayer line, and pray with us in the morning. 30 minutes. It goes by so fast. We have such a wonderful time in prayer. And listen, I hear all the beeps come in, beep, 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 but no voices. Everybody's muting their phone. Unmute your phone and let's pray together. I started that. That's my fault. I'm the one that said I mute my phone. I don't mute it anymore. Unmute your phone and let's pray together. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. God bless you.